In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, I have two announcements this morning. The first is that tomorrow will be the Feast of St. Teresa, and we'll be doing a sung Mass here tomorrow. That's in honor of the great Carmelite saint. But for that reason, if we have a sermon at all, it will be a very short one. And also, I believe we are going to have our women's schola singing tomorrow. So that's a kind of a new thing that we're going to be putting together, appropriate for the convent here. I have to apologize today for yesterday. I made a mistake. I said that King Edward was one of the few English saints who were also kings. Actually, that was not true. There have been 15 kings of England who also were saints, and 11 queens. I was thinking of France. They only have had two, right? So I tried to blame England for France's problems. So I apologize to England out there, right? Anybody of English descent. So. So today, our saint for today, Saint Callistus. Here is a fascinating story of an ecclesiastical version of rags to riches. So Saint Callistus, he started out as a slave in a household of a noble Roman. This would have been very early in the church. It would have been in the second century. He was a slave there. And he had very good abilities, for he was placed in charge of his master's bank account, essentially. So he managed this. He must have had some ability because he was placed in charge of it, but he ended up going bankrupt. So all this money that his master placed him in charge of, all of it was gone. So what does he do? Being a good Christian, a good Catholic, he runs away, right? So, okay, maybe he wasn't so good after all. He tries to flee, and he tries to escape via boat, and it was unsuccessful. In fact, when he was near capture, he tried to jump into the ocean and escape that way. That didn't work either. He was captured. His master was quite upset, but he was convinced to give him a chance to go recover the money that he had lost. And so apparently it had been, where does he go? He goes to a Jewish synagogue. So I guess it was some, involvement with Jewish bankers there. I guess it's been going on for a long time. So he goes to the Jewish synagogue to try to recover some of the money and ends up getting into a fist fight. So I guess he had a temper as well as some ability with finances. But this was just too much. So he broke the bank, tried to escape, jumped into the ocean, caused a fist fight. It's like a rabble-rouser. So his master is just fed up and sends him to the salt mines in Sardinia. And this is not good conditions. Basically, that's where they sent Catholics, right? Those early Christians, they were fed to the lions, they were beheaded, they were boiled in oil, or they were sent to the salt mines, right? Like, that was basically a death sentence. So this is where Callistus is sent. And that's it, right? His master has disowned him. He's been given a death sentence. He doesn't know anybody. He squandered all his master's money. He got in this huge fight, caused a ruckus. That's it, right? I mean, for all he can see, he's going to die in these mines. Well, God orders all things sweetly, and we have no idea where salvation will come from unlooked for. And so of all people, St. Callistus is ultimately saved by the mistress of the emperor Commodus. Commodus was the emperor at the time, and he was half mad. He was no friend of the Christians, but one of his mistresses was very friendly to it, and she asked, was Pope Victor the First at the time, give me a list of Christians, give me a list of your Catholics in the mines, and I will have them released. And so he did. So Pope Victor I gives this to the mistress of Commodus, the emperor, and then all of these prisoners are freed, among them St. Callistus. But he knows nobody. He comes back, he's freed, he returns to Rome. His master doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He's a slave. What's he going to do? So the Pope takes him in. The Pope takes him, sends him to a convalescent home, and he was nearly at the point of death from the hardships in the mines. So St. Callistus recovers in this convalescent home, and he must have changed. It really had changed him, and he's given charge, I guess, his abilities, his natural talent for administration. He would have had some natural ability. That's why his master entrusted him with that bank. So his abilities are recognized, and he's given charge over a cemetery, the first public property owned by the church. It was a cemetery outside of Rome on the Appian Way. So he takes charge of this, and I mean, I don't know how you can manage a graveyard well, but I guess he did a phenomenal job. He did a fantastic job of managing this property. I guess people got buried on time. It was, you know, I don't know. But it was named after him, the cemetery of Callistus, and it's still called that today. In fact, popes, that was the first place where the popes would start being buried, in that very cemetery. So he's given charge of the cemetery. He's made a deacon. And the following pope, after Pope Victor, was Pope Zephyrinus. he starts to use him as his counselor. So Pope Zephyrinus is consulting with young St. Callistus, who is not so young anymore. He's experienced. And over for 18 years, Pope Zephyrinus is going back and forth with St. Callistus. And at the end of it, Pope Zephyrinus dies through many, many hardships. There were schisms, there were heresies, there were attacks, there were persecutions. Pope Zephyrinus dies, and he names Callistus as his successor. And so this young man who was getting a fist fight in a Jewish synagogue, who ran away, tried to escape from his master, who squandered his master's money, is now the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. What a difference, right? What a change. And that was completely unexpected. and it was not without controversy, because there was another man, Hippolytus of Rome, if we remember. He's a saint as well, but it took him a while longer than Pope Callistus. Hippolytus was a theologian, a philosopher, ecclesiastical writer, and when Callistus was chosen, this deacon who was in charge of a cemetery, who had this rotten life of the past, when he was chosen over Hippolytus of Rome, he thought that was completely inappropriate. Here he was, you know, Hippolytus was a theologian, ecclesiastic, and then this upstart. No way, that was an insult. Furthermore, when Pope Callistus took over the church, he was very compassionate. Because of his own past, because he himself had such a rabble rousing history. When the question was put to him, do we admit those Catholics, those Christians who have gone back on their baptismal vows, they have apostatized, do we admit them back to the church? What about those who've committed murder? What about those who committed adultery, these grave crimes? Pope Callistus is the one who said, we admit them to the church. Absolutely. They do their penance, they repent, but they come back to the church, because he himself knew what it was like to have a bad past. He knew what it was like to have fallen and to have sincere repentance. He almost died in the mines of Sardinia. That's where his conversion would have taken place. But this hadn't been defined yet. There was a Tertullian, the church father, and the Hippolytus of Rome, who said that if you apostatized, you could not be readmitted to communion with the church. If you committed adultery, murder, fornication, you could not be readmitted to the church. The doctrine, the dogma hadn't been defined yet. And so that's part of why, you know, God orders all things sweetly. That's why he had a man like Pope Callistus, or a man like Callistus, be chosen pope, because he needed that compassion and that mercy to know that people are going to fall, right? Mankind is weak. But we have the opportunity to do repentance by showing our sorrow, showing our penitence. We can be readmitted. And that is what God wanted for his church. And so that's why Pope Callistus was chosen. And not just that, the question at the same time was also asked, can a bishop be deposed from his ecclesiastical office? Does he lose his office as bishop if he apostatizes, if he commits a mortal sin? And again, Hippolytus of Rome and these others said, yes, a bishop has to be worthy of the office, and if he's personally reprehensible, he loses his ecclesiastical position. Pope Callistus said, no, that's not true. Even a mortal sin, even apostasy, doesn't deprive a bishop of his position, of his order. And there was a number of other things as well. There was a heresy at the time, and so Hippolytus of Rome decides he's going to set himself up as pope instead. So that was our first anti-pope, was Hippolytus of Rome. And furthermore, this is one of those interesting twists of fate, Hippolytus decides he's going to write an account of the life of Pope Callistus. And that's how, like that whole story we just heard, That's how we know about it. It's because Hippolytus of Rome wanted to impugn Callistus. He wanted to make him look bad. He wanted to say, look at the guy who is Pope. And so he writes a history of Callistus's life. But instead, it backfired, right? Because all we do is we see the mercy of God, right? And this is one of the great lessons of the interplay here, in that it doesn't matter, if we turn to God at any point in our life, he can fix everything. Like, I mean, imagine the wreck of Pope Callistus. I mean, imagine the dirt that would have been dug up, right? That's what it was, like political dirt. It happened 2,000 years ago. They were trying to make him look bad. All it does is serve to show God can work with anybody. He can turn anybody's life around. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what a rabble-rouser you were. He can use that to his benefits, as we have seen, right? It just served to make Pope Callistus that much more compassionate and to be able to institute the doctrine that God wanted to be instituted. And Hippolytus was the one who made that happen, right? He helped people realize that. Even today, we have that account of his life. And Hippolytus is the anti-pope at this time. He himself is not going down the right path. And he writes this, and he wouldn't have been kind either. In fact, he says that when Callistus tried to escape off the boat, he was attempting to commit suicide by jumping in the ocean. Hippolytus of Rome writes that. And he was the one who said that he was caused this ruckus in the synagogue. It was all, Callistus' fault. And maybe it was. But you get the unvarnished truth, right? And just like St. Peter, he's his own in the Gospels. St. Peter's the one who writes most about his denial of Christ, right? He's the one that says is the most condemnatory towards himself. That's what the saints do. But just as St. Callistus repented and God used his life for good, Hippolytus repents as well, and God uses his life for good. So Hippolytus is the antipope for 18 years, but at the end, he is reconciled with the church. And his attempt at discrediting Pope Callistus ends up being the reason why we know about his life at all. So that's just shows the wonderful providence of God, in that he sees everything, right, both the past and the future. And so Pope Callistus eventually would end up being martyred in the year 223. He was pope for about five or six years. And he was martyred by a mob. There was just a mob of angry Romans, anti-Catholic, anti-Christian mob, and they ended up martyring St. Callistus. And so, for us, our takeaway is don't worry about our past, right? It doesn't matter what we've done, what we haven't done, or even, if right now we're embittered or embroiled in something. All we have to do is give our life to Christ. All I have to do is say, God, you can do anything, and you can take my messed up past and make it something that people need in the future. That turns out, I never would have thought, but God used my past. He used my past, my horrible, awful past, to help somebody else, to send a message, to teach a lesson to the world or to my family or to who knows. And that is that's the power of God, right? If God is all powerful, can he do anything? Yes, he could make evil turn to good, right? And that's the ultimate lesson of the cross. But that is what it takes, right? It's not just like it's just going to happen. God's going to use all my evil past and turn it to good. It doesn't happen automatically, right? We have to go through those Sardinian mines, right? We have to go through the period of our life, the Sardinian salt mines of suffering, of darkness, of blackness. There's no hope. I've been abandoned by everybody. When hope unlooked for can be brought by God. And whether it's true in my life or the life of our country or the life of our family or our church, whatever it may be, that is the power of God. That's the faith that we have. So let us pray to St. Callistus and to St. Hippolytus, right, for the faith, that trust in God, and that repentance that will turn our past of a sinner into our future as a saint. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.